we go. To respond.
It's Hello? Thursday, 7 p.m., and time for another edition of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
Call our guest line at any time during the show and talk about wine on air. Dial 646-727-3235. That's area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and let them know, you know, trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly. You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Organic Farm on the coast of Maine near Mount Desert Island.
Westport Rivers, Westport, Mass.
HaberHill.com. The Napa Valley of the Midwest.
RainbornWines.com in Santa Rosa. The philosophy for my brand, Rainborn, is to only use dry farm vineyards, hence the name Rainborn.
The best way to reach us here at Ten Spoon in Montana is to go to www.tenspoon.com.
Alba Vineyards.
We're the largest estate vineyard in New Jersey.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery, New Jersey's top-rated winery for 2011.
India Vineyards on Route 93, that's the main highway coming right up the center of New Hampshire out of Massachusetts.
Vivac Winery, we are actually the highest-rated red wines in New Mexico.
Call now and talk about wine on air. Dial 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235.
Well, Southwest Wine is actually located in Deming, New Mexico.
Well, Lavinia is the oldest winery in New Mexico.
Castello di Borghese, the first winery established in Long Island.
Blackhead Lake Winery, and we're located at Cushier Park in Montana.
Famous Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Brotherhood is America's oldest winery since 1839.
Ithaca, New York, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
The website is freethegrapes.org.
And now, it's the show dedicated to the wine industry.
Come and visit Sheila Lauer of the Houston Winery.
This is Dr. Tom Cottrell. He is with the University of Kentucky Extension in Lexington, Kentucky. He's an enologist there.
I learned winemaking from the then 39 wineries in Napa Valley.
All right. We have Jason with us tonight.
Good evening, Ron. Good evening, Mike, from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Not only am I an attorney that a good part of my practice focuses on wine regulations and litigation, but I also am the president of a vineyard up here. I started the Hershey-Harrisburg Wine Country.
Again, the website is greenvale.com. Our phone number is 401-847-3777.
Info at hummingbirdridgewinery.com. My dad always said I'm a jack of all trades. He said that. You know, just a little guy.
Anyone out there who is interested in this software, you really need to go check out this site. It's www.uncork.biz.
That's really what we're about, and that's, as you said, uncork.biz is where our main site is, and that's where people can read lots about it.
Info at vineyard@hershey.com.
Well, I grew up on the farm here in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
We have a website, Waltz, vineyard, with an S, don't forget the F.
Paul is a blogger.
It's blog.penlive, P as in Paul, ENNLIVE.com/wine, and that should get you to my wine classroom.
It's wineflower.com, all one word, wineflower.
It's all about wine. Here is your host, Ron.
Hey, thank you, bus people. All right. Thank you, Buster. Let me tell you what's going on here. We have a guest tonight. We've had a guest. I've been communicating with him. He's in Indonesia right now, actually. We've been doing a lot of emails back and forth and talking a lot that way and trying to see if he can't get on the show. Excuse me. And since he's 12 hours difference than us, it's been somewhat of a communication gap there. We haven't called or anything, but we have emailed. And Mike is right now is, I believe, getting a hold of him, trying to get him on the air and connecting with him on Skype. That is our means of communication there. And so he's doing that. The Drifting Winemaker, this is his blog, his site and everything else. Michael Horton is the gentleman who's going to be joining us. TheDriftingWinemaker.com, if you like to check it out. Drifting, Drifting, Winemaker.com. And he's, his website states, what is a drifting winemaker? It says, my name is Mike Horton, a young winemaker, surfer, traveler, writer, photographer, food connoisseur, nature lover, and person who is genuinely happy about life and where it takes me. What began as a way to keep my family and friends up to date during my first visit, or my first vintage, I'm sorry, in New Zealand in 2009 developed into the Drifting Winemaker. Over the past 4 years, I have provided people with a unique view into my life and created a great venue to share my experiences and knowledge with others. Find articles involving winemaking and production, wine regions, wine reviews, tasting information, my vintage experiences, and more via my Wine Index, or find everything else in my other index. And those are located on his page also. You can, again, check that out. He's got all sorts of pictures. He's got just a bunch of stuff on there. And I don't know if there's a problem hooking up. Mike is trying to get hold of Michael right now. This is going to be confusing, Mike and Mike. But he's trying to get a hold of him right now. And as soon as he gets a hold of him, as soon as he gets him connected here, we will bring him on the air. While we're waiting, though, a couple of things here. I noticed this. I thought you might be interested in hearing a little bit about this. Cornell University, as we've talked before, has always... Oh, before I get into that, I want to hit something quickly here. As we have discussed before, we have... oops, I just lost it. There it is. As we've discussed before, we have a... we've been quoting Joy's Joy of Wine lots of times. We had Joy on last week, and she's 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago she was a guest, great guest with us a couple weeks ago. We talked about a lot of stuff, how she got into it and everything else. But her latest blog is something that I'm going to share you, since it is this Saturday. Let me pull it up here. For some reason, my computer timed out of that site, and I got to get it back here. I think. Oh, come on, come up. Okay, it's working this way. But this Saturday is the first ever Wine Tourism Day. In the United States, the first ever Wine Tourism Day, and it's they've been doing it in Europe for 2 or 3 years. Why won't this come up? I apologize for my computer being a... There it is. This Saturday's Wine Tourism Day, the first ever Wine Tourism Day. You can check that out at www.winetourismday.org. First ever in North America, wineries, restaurants, hotels, and anyone in the wine-related business throughout the United States, Mexico, and Canada are offering special events to promote the tourism in the wine industry. Now, this is wine trails. This is any number of things that you might be associated with wine. The idea came about in Santa Rosa, California, started last year, and the concept of designating one day for wine tourism started in Europe. The European Day of Wine Tourism, as it's called there, it was celebrated on November the 11th this last year, and it was originally started back in 2009. So they've been doing this, will be their fourth year, obviously, coming up this year. The European Network of Wine Cities set, like I said, second Sunday in November each year is a Wine Tourism Day. The United States Wine Tourism. The United States has over 7,500 wineries. Let me check and see. Michael's ready, but let me finish this real fast here for you. United States has over 7,500 wineries. Canada has a bunch of them, as you know. Mexico has quite a few of them. But this Saturday, May the 11th, is Wine Tourism Day. So contact your local wineries, contact your restaurants, contact anyone out there. If they don't have it going on, if they don't have something going on, remind them about it. Tell them to check out the website. Again, winetourismday.org. And it's to just promote the whole thing, to get everything going and all that stuff. So check that out. Again, as always, Joy's Joy of Wine, the blog. Follow it, become a follower, and keep reading it and all that stuff. Michael, the drifting winemaker, is on hold. Is he on hold, Mike?
Yeah, we're ready to go. He's
all
live.
All right. We're going to get Michael on here and get him on the program and have him tell us about his adventures.
Yep, we're on.
Okay.
Mike, you there? You there?
I'm here. How you doing, Ron?
Oh, fantastic. Doing well, and yourself?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Okay. It's what, 7 o'clock in the morning there?
It is. I'm on the opposite side of the world from you guys, so.
Where
just,
are you?
Just arrived in Bali.
I know you're in Indonesia. Where at?
Yeah, I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago from Australia.
Oh, fantastic. So what's the weather like there?
It's been pretty nice. It's a bit gloomy today, but it comes and goes. It's sort of the transition season between the wet and dry, so it gets a little bit of rain, and then the sun will come out in an hour.
Uh-huh. Sounds like us here in Florida. We do the same thing in the summer, so not a big
difference. Yeah, exactly.
So the drifting winemaker, I read, I went onto your website, and I just read who is the drifting winemaker. In your own words, tell us how you got started in this, why you're doing it, a little bit of your experiences. I'm just going to let you talk for a while.
All right. I started off sort of when I first did my first overseas vintage. I'm from California originally. When I first traveled to New Zealand, I kind of wanted a way to keep in touch with my family and friends and let them know what I was up to. So I started this website, and then it kind of just grew from there into a bit of a talk about wine regions, my experiences wherever I've worked, different winemaking techniques I've learned, reviews on wines I've had, and then also my travels, what other places I've been in between, what else there is to do around where I'm making wine, and a lot about surfing, because that's my second passion besides winemaking.
Ah. What part of California did you grow up in?
I'm originally from San Diego.
San Diego? Wow.
And yeah.
What started your wine passion, your wine career?
I started school at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo.
Oh.
And I was originally going to be studying marine biology.
Whoa.
And, I kind of just figured out they're right in the middle of wine region, and I sort of just fell into friends that were studying wine, and I got interested in it, and I ended up switching over and joining the program, and it kind of just took off from there.
And so did you work in any wineries in California?
Yeah, I've been 6 vintages there, 5 in Edna Valley, which is just south of San Luis Obispo, and mm-hmm. one up in Napa Valley as well.
Which one's, what one in Napa?
Frank Family Vineyards.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm familiar with that one. That's your experience in as working in these wineries. What do you have any specialties, or you just basically do everything?
Basically, I've done everything. I've kind of worn all the different hats that you can in a winery. I started my first job was working in a pretty large custom crush facility and working on the night shift in the laboratory and doing all the laboratory work, sampling and analysis. Then I moved on to doing cellar work more, and then I moved into more winemaking positions once I finished university.
So then you travel to Australia and New Zealand. What do? Walk into a winery and say, "Hi, I'm the drifting winemaker"?
Yeah, exactly. No. The first job I got, I just got through the internet at a winery, Montana Wines, a pretty big company in New Zealand, and just applied through the internet and had an online interview, and then they invited me to come over, and I went back there for the 3 vintages in a row, and then I worked for another company affiliated with them for a 4th vintage.
So how long do you usually stay with the company then? I mean, are you part of it? Are you just sort of like go in and do a bunch of stuff and help them and then move on?
Yeah, I just get a short-term contract, so it's just a vintage contract. I usually arrive a week before harvest will begin, and then I finish sort of whenever they feel they don't need any more help.
I see. So you expand your knowledge and help them then, basically.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of I always like to think it's a bit of an exchange of ideas, because you can always learn something at a new facility. Everybody has different little techniques and tricks, and so it's been great for me. I've gotten to see a lot of cool places, make a lot of great wine, and learn a lot of new stuff.
And you also are a lab tech then, what you were just saying.
I've done a lot of laboratory work. I've done a lot of pretty much all the different things you can do in a winery. I always thought from the beginning that the only way to be a good winemaker is to know sort of all the different jobs that you'll have to be supervising and making sure people are doing correctly.
And then, so why just New Zealand, Australia, California? Have you done anything in East Coast United States, New York, Pennsylvania, anything like that?
You know, I haven't had a chance to yet. I've been hoping to get over there. I'd love to go work in the Finger Lakes area. I've always thought that'd be pretty cool. And I've always wanted to go to Europe as well.
And so you're just not limiting yourself. It's whatever happens to catch your fancy and you're going.
Yeah, well, it's a bit difficult trying to find short-term contracts, because it really needs to be a slightly larger winery usually, since they'll have a full-time staff of winemakers, and they'll just need that little bit of extra help for vintage. It's kind of what I'm looking for. So most wineries these days, it's actually become pretty difficult to do sort of a traveling winemaking. It's what they used to do in Australia and New Zealand. They used to call it flying winemaking, where they used to fly over and do vintages in Europe every year and then go back to Australia or New Zealand.
Oh, I see. Well, okay, that would make sense, though, because the small winery, I mean, like myself, I would not hire someone just to come in for, you know 2 or 3 months. If I need somebody, I would hire them. Small wineries would need them for full time, and so I can understand larger wineries. You go in there, you help out and compliment the staff for a while, and then you can move on. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You also mentioned that you have another love of surfing. How long have you been surfing?
I've been surfing since I was about 13 years old, pretty full on. It's always been my biggest passion growing up in San Diego. I was right by the beach, and luckily, I guess this might have been part of my reason I chose winemaking, but if you look at all the great wine regions in the world, most of them have surf pretty close by, so they kind of go hand in hand. It's been pretty good.
That's true. You need to make a trip over to South Africa. There's your surfing area there.
Yeah, exactly. There's some great surf down there. Not terribly close to the bigger wine regions, but there's definitely some smaller wine regions. I've looked into South Africa as well.
Did you? Yeah. No, it's the same thing with, New York. You're not going to find a whole lot of surf there. I mean, Finger Lakes is right outside the Great Lakes, and the Great Lakes don't offer a whole lot of surf, I'm afraid.
No, that's true. Probably why I never ended up deciding to pursue it too heavily to get there.
Yeah, really. I lost my question here. Are you going to plan on staying in, Australia, New Zealand, that area down there for a lot longer, or is just what happens? Are you?
It's just sort of play it by ear. I'm talking with a few people about opportunities for vintage back in California this next year.
Oh.
Some opportunities to maybe travel over to Europe as well. So I'm just kind of weighing my options, and I just see Bali as sort of my home base in between. I lived here for a year and a half, and then I sort of just come and go from here in between wherever my contracts are, because it's kind of a centralized location.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, well, that sounds great. The reviews and all that on your website, every one of those, you've talked about the different vintages and different grapes and all that stuff. You've had personal experience with every one of them?
I have. I've worked at a lot of different places that have made a lot of different varieties. So I've been able to look at just a really broad range of winemaking and a really broad range of wine styles. It's been very interesting and very educational.
I noticed one of the grapes on your list here is Pinotage. Is that basically a South African grape? Where did you get experience with that?
We had a few batches of that in New Zealand, actually, that we made.
Oh yeah.
I wouldn't say it's a popular variety there, but it has a bit of a holding in the market, and so a fair number of producers make it.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought it was just basically South African. I didn't realize it was part of New Zealand, that area over there. Huh. The climate that you've experienced and all the things, especially Australia and the droughts they've been having, all that, has that done any major effect on your abilities to do what you do, or are you not affected by that?
Well, I was working in Margaret River region, which is on the very west coast of Australia. And it hasn't really had the same problems that the Sunny Coast has in the big regions of Barossa and all of those areas. They've had, for the last 6 years, they've pretty much had perfect conditions straight through the season, and they've had pretty stellar vintages for the last 6 years, and this one will be included, I'm pretty sure.
So it hasn't affected that area. I mean, you hear about some of these major droughts going on there, so it really hasn't affected most of it. I guess it's just concentrated just in the one area. Marlboro, I think, has really been hit hard.
If you mean Australia or New Zealand?
No, I'm sorry?
You're talking South Australian drought. There's a lot of problems in the Barossa Valley the last couple of years, and sort of the major wine center of Australia is based around the southeast.
Oh yeah, the southeastern part.
They've had
you're
a
right
lot of problems. I'm all the way. Margaret River is on the opposite side, so it's kind of like saying Florida versus California.
That's
drops in Florida. California's fine.
Okay. So I guess it wouldn't affect you at all.
A lot of people don't realize Australia has the same landmass as the United States, actually. They have far less people, but they have the same landmass as the U.S.
Oh, so it stretches out as far. So when we're talking Sydney, then you being on the other side of the country there is like, you know, New York and California. And
yeah, exactly. It's about a five-hour flight from one coast to the other.
Oh, so it is rather large. So the climate in Australia then, being that far apart and all that, is mostly, is it microclimates? I mean, is there, I'm not familiar with the climates, the microclimates in the areas in Australia enough to really know. So my question is, if the southern areas of Australia, outside of Sydney and places like that have the vineyards, as opposed to the western edge, are the climates affected that much, or is it just affected from the oceans? Or I don't know if you understand my question here, but
I do. Yeah. To be honest, I'm not terribly familiar with the main wine regions other than the one I've just worked in, which is Margaret River. But my understanding is that Margaret River is considered a cool climate region in Australia, which I find very strange because they're mainly do Bordeaux varietals. But it's very heavily ocean influenced. The region runs right up the Indian Ocean, and it's sort of, the region itself is quite large, and it has a lot of microclimates within that region due to water flow, air flow, that make it pretty unique. And compared to South Australia, it is a lot cooler, and it has a very strange balance. They make stunning Chardonnay, and they make really nice Bordeaux reds, and they also do Semillon and Sauvignon Blanc. So they've sort of attached these varietals that Chardonnay I'd expect to be in quite a cool climate, but the Chardonnay there is unbelievable, and so the Bordeaux.
Huh, I never realized it's the Margaret River area. What's some of the major wineries in that area there that would import to the United States that we could find here?
Well, Bass Felix, where I was just working, they import some volume. I don't know if they do a whole lot, but I'd imagine they'd like to do more. Their winemaker actually just last year won Winemaker of the Year in Australia, in Gourmet Wine Traveler, one of their main wine magazines. And so they're pretty well known. The bigger places that would import to the States, let me think. You might find some Devil's Lair wine over there. They're owned by Treasury Wine Estates, so they're sort of a bigger brand. But honestly, they're all pretty small producers. So they're working to build their international name, and Margaret River as a whole has started to gain a lot of international credit in the last few years. But, you know, I worked at one of the biggest wineries in the region, and we only did 1,500 tons this year.
Oh, wow. So they all are pretty small then, you know, then as far as that goes. I guess if you're not, you know, like most of the country, we're full of small wineries here. I guess it's the same case down there, too. It's just basically it's made up of a whole bunch of small wineries.
Yeah, there's about 100 wineries in Margaret River, maybe more by now.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a pretty sort of like Paso Robles or somewhere like that, but it still doesn't even have those really, really big producers that make, you know, 10,000 tons or something like that. They're all pretty small. You know, I think the largest is 4,000.
So they all smaller. Does Australia and, well, is Margaret River Well, I can't say an AVA because AVA means American Viticulture Area. But do they have things that are equivalent to that down there, Appalachian areas?
They do government divided appellations as well. So pretty much the same as an American Viticultural Area would be.
So Margaret River is an appellation?
It's fairly young, but they've been growing grapes there since the late 60s was when the first vineyard was planted, and I think it's been a dedicated region since the 70s.
We can expect quality just like we can here from some of the Appalachians. That's cool. Do they have other regions? I know we've got California is an Appalachian, as is Napa, but within those areas there are even smaller ones and smaller ones. Is Margaret River the same way, since it's so small anyway?
Margaret River is actually a very broad region, which they've discussed during sub-regional classifications, which is allowed here and which is done, and it has been done in some of the major regions over in Southeast Australia. But I think Margaret River's wine growing is probably a bit too young to jump into that sort of battle at this stage. They don't really know everything they need to know before they can start sub-regionally dividing. And I think that they're still trying to build their international plane to where sub-regions aren't going to help. Sort of like the whole Paso Robles thing where, I don't know if you remember that story, Paso Robles.
Yes.
Region out in California.
Yeah, I'm familiar. Yeah. I've talked about Paso Robles on the program. Yeah.
Yeah, well, they sort of tried to jump into this whole sub-regional division, and a lot of producers there had pushback because they're saying, we don't think we're at the stage where we should be dividing. We don't have to yet. We're still building our name. We're still learning about our region. And sort of were forced into making decisions earlier than they would have liked to, I think.
Oh. Now, that's interesting. You would think that they would try to do what they can to try to promote around the country, since it's, I'm surprised that they're taking it slow, which is probably the best way to do it, though. I mean, if you think about it.
Yeah, well, I think what the argument is for Margaret River is, it's a big region. It has a lot of wineries. They haven't really figured out where everything is the best, what makes a certain sub-region different than another. And instead of trying to divide it up and start battling against each other as, we have the best sub-region, they should be trying to get the whole region as a whole to be recognized as a major, major growing region, before they start coming up with, this place makes a better Cabernet, this place makes a better Chardonnay, whatever it is. More of a marketing as a group instead of marketing as more individuals and having to fight against each other, making more competition, basically.
And that makes a whole lot of sense. That's a good attitude for them to take. I mean, really, because you see that a lot in different areas around this country here, that Finger Lakes areas against Hudson Valley, against Long Island, stuff like that. There's a lot of competition between those areas too, and it happens. So I understand that. I noticed something on your website here, and I want to talk about this just for a second. It has nothing to do with wine, but it's really pretty cool. The caves you visited in the Margaret River area. There's Margaret River Underground. A lot of caves there.
It's actually some very geologically amazing, really. They have something like 150, 200 caves.
Wow.
That are kind of wrapped around underneath all the vineyards and everything. And there's only a few of them that are accessible to the public. It's a pretty cool little thing to do on a day when you're down there. I went and toured a few caves, and it's beautiful. It's really, it's just stunning.
There's 150 caves underneath the ground in that area. What caused all that? Is that just river erosion, or is that Why?
I think, you know, I never really found out. I don't think they really know exactly where it all came from, but I would imagine it would be a water-based sort of thing. So, yeah, probably, you know, underground rivers. I think there's a bit of a – that would be – since Margaret River's on the very west, that would be where Australia attached in when we had the, you know, giant landmass before everything split apart.
So it could come from that. Good point. that's very true. I saw the pictures and stuff here on your website about the caves, and I was, you're talking about two or three of them here, pretty big ones, but I didn't realize they had that many in that area. That's amazing there.
Yeah, I think they don't really even know how many they have there. You know, people, I met someone just the other day that was saying, oh, yeah, I found a cave on my property a week ago. They just found a hole in the ground and it dropped into some big cave.
Oh, my gosh, that's unbelievable. Your website, you also talk about being a culinary expert. Do you cook, bake? Are you a chef? Or are you just... You just love food? What is your background on that?
I don't know if I call myself a culinary expert, but yeah, I like to cook. I enjoy food. I hope I didn't actually write that on there. I'll have to make sure and change that. But,
food connoisseur. I'm sorry. My mistake. It says food connoisseur.
Okay, connoisseur. That sounds a lot less of a – yeah, that's better. I'm glad I didn't use expert. Yeah, no, I think I like food. I like matching wines with food, working with different flavors, trying to figure out what blends together. I like trying new foods, exotic foods, and I love cooking as well, even though I don't really get a whole lot of chance to do it because of my busy schedule during the year. I do enjoy it.
Are you working today? Do you have to go into work today?
No, fortunately, I'm here in Bali now, and I'm on vacation for a couple months before I go back to the next vintage.
So you're heading into winter down there, isn't it?
This is considered dry season in Indonesia, so it's pretty equatorial climate. And it would be I think it would be considered winter, but it's, you know, it's the tropics, so it doesn't get too bad.
So it's not going to be like, you know, cool off or anything. Since you're in an equatorial climate, it's going to be nice all the time there, you know.
Yeah, it'll be, 85 degrees most days, nice warm water. It's kind of like a sort of similar to Florida, I'd imagine, right?
Yeah. So I understand, yeah. The Mike, not you, Mike, but my Mike. Do you have any questions for Michael here?
I'm still going through his blog. I'm reading quite a few of the stories. The aggravation that you had to go through the airline over your surfboard. That I found that a pretty good read because I used to work for not that airline but another airline, and the baggage fees he's talking about. I don't know if you've seen that yet, Ron, but he's talking about baggage fees for going on with a surfboard, and I don't know how else to put it, the crap he had to go through with the surfboard, with this airline.
But I think a lot of surfers go through that these days.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, but I usually don't put that kind of stuff up on my website, but it was just such a frustrating incident, and I felt so... So wrong that I figured I need to get it out there and kind of help other people see. You know,
that's
but
right.
It's not going to be an easy going if you fly with the airline.
Yeah, it's one heck of a story there. That's for sure. That was Ron. It's from December the 2012 in December. He has a bunch of stories there, and
I
just
went
through the blog. And through the blog and reading some of the how are you getting around? I mean, have you secured transportation there? I mean, is this not a permanent where you're at, where you're working, it's not a permanent thing, right? You're moving around different places.
When I go for instance, when I started in Margaret River,
mm-hmm.
I bought a car when I arrived so that I'd be able to get around and kind of you get set up for, you know, it's a few months, so you kind of have to get set up to be living there. So I'd arrive and get a place to stay, I get a car, and sort of work out how I'm going to live in the area, what I'm going to want to do, and yeah, so sort of a nomadic lifestyle, I guess, but
yeah.
I always try and organize transportation, of course.
Wow, yeah, that sounds like a major undertaking to be in another area like that and then have to set up like from square one. I mean, do you know people going into this? Obviously, you it sounds like you would secure your position first and then make the move there, right? Or you just go in there and say, okay, now I've got to find something to do.
Yeah, I get a job lined up before I go.
Mm-hmm.
They sort of give me a tentative start date as to when I'm going to start work. And then I try and arrive a little bit before, get the lay of the land, and get organized to stay there.
Wow.
A lot of wineries will help me, will help out, try and help you find accommodation and help you find transportation and things like that. And
wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty fun. It's exciting.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, I was reading about you. Yeah, reading anyway, that's it. I'm still reading, so.
Okay.
Listening and reading. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that thing about you were talking about getting the surf on. I worked as a photographer for many years, and I have problems with my cameras every time because I don't want to check my camera, so I'm always carrying it, and there's always a hassle with that too. I mean, they want me to break it all down and everything else, and all my equipment and all. And, you know, the battery, what is this? Can you take it apart? No, it's a battery, and, you know, stuff like that. So I understand some of the hassle you might go through with trying to get something like a surfboard to be carried on. And then that's, you know, sometimes it gets a little bit ridiculous. So
the way they change the fees on them, I think I read somewhere one time it was $75 after they tried to charge you $150. And then on another time, what was the one for $300, I think? I mean, just outrageous. The same airline, wasn't it?
Airline within a couple of weeks of flying. And
yeah.
It's basically like they're trying to just make as much as they can.
Yeah.
And it sounded like they're just pulling numbers out of the air and bargaining. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. I was reading that. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. That's amazing. Anyone want to check that out. Plus, you know, I don't know. I guess, Ron, you gave him the website before we came on air. But, some very interesting stories on there. And that was just, you know, I don't know. I was on one side of the phone, I guess, for another airline and never had that issue come up. But just the way they're handling this, it's amazing that, you know, I don't know. But, yeah.
I want to fuck the airline then, Mike.
You what?
I want to fly with your airline. That sounds good to me.
That was a long time ago. You know, you have that medium, the blog, and you know, your readers and followers, you know, you run into something like that. Yeah, why not use it to alert them or to bring out the topic? And, you know, you never know. It reaches enough people. Something, I don't know if it would ever reach this airline, but you know, it kind of gives people a heads up and you know, puts people on notice that this is what could happen with this particular airline. So yeah, use that medium and you know, while you're out there and see what happens. I may not do any good for this particular. Is that EVA or EVA or I don't know if that's a. I've never.
I think they pronounced it AVA. I'm not
AVA.
Sure. It's a big airline that's based out of Taipei.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Taiwan. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard of it. I just never knew how to pronounce it. But, that's wow. What a story. Good stuff. Okay. Yeah, that was all. I'm sorry. It's wine and more. There you go.
The wine and
yeah,
more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just whatever I find interesting, I try and keep it wine-oriented as much as I can. It's probably at least It's over. I'd say 50% wine and 50% other stuff. So surfing and traveling and different places to go and different things to see and sort of a wine for people that like other things.
Yeah. But do you write the blog on any set schedule or just whenever you sit down and put a post in?
I try and do updates every probably 2 or 3 days when I'm not working vintage. But during vintage, it sort of drops off and it makes it pretty difficult because I have such a full-on schedule at work that it's hard to find time to sit down and write anything.
No, and so it's most of the time though you've got to post it every couple of 3 days then.
Yep.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Well, anything else you
have you gotten into Twitter or anything? I see you're on Facebook. Have you gotten anything where you can send out instant tweets like paying another outrageous price for my surfboard at this place or do you just primarily use the spur of the moment type of post or do you do that on Facebook?
Don't really do the spur of the moment sort of thing. I never really found that the whole Twitter atmosphere very interesting. So I've shied away from that. I do have Facebook and I have LinkedIn for more professional sort of connection.
Right.
But mostly just do my website and then that's about it.
Yeah. That looks like it keeps you busy anyway, so just a lot of
stuff,
a lot of writing on there. Very cool. Okay. Yeah,
in fact, that's how we found Mike here is because of the LinkedIn. He and I are both on a similar site, and I asked for people who might be interested in coming on, and he responded and said he would. And so thank you very much for that, by the way. I don't know if I've expressed my thanks enough, but thank you for agreeing to be on. This is great. You're very informative. Anything else you want to tell us before we let you go here?
No, thanks for having me on too, Ron. Thanks, Mike. Appreciated it.
Thank you.
It's been fun.
Well, give
and,
us
hopefully
give us your Facebook page and your blog address and everything else so people can tune in and start following you.
That's right. My website address is www.thedriftingwinemaker.com. And you can find my Facebook page and LinkedIn accounts on my contact page in there and my email address as well. So I'd be more than happy to talk to anybody that wants to say hello or wants to, talk about any sort of upcoming wine work or anything like that as well.
Fantastic.
Very cool.
We really appreciate you taking your time out, well, this morning, this evening, wherever you happen to be, to join us. And best of luck for you. And if you're ever wandering around this part of the country, if you're ever wandering around Florida, then by all means, stop by the winery, Florida Estates Winery, and say hey to me then.
I definitely will.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank
all
you
right,
very
well,
much
have
for
a good,
joining
have
us
a good
tonight.
One. Thank you. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
You too. Now. Bye now. Wow. All right. Very good. And we dropped both mics. That was strange. Mike was piggybacking on Mike. The Mike guest was piggybacking on Mike, the co-host. And so when Mike, the co-host, said goodbye to Mike, the guest, then Mike, the co-host, left. And
that was it.
And he's back now. There he is.
I hit a button, and everything was knocked off the air. Okay.
Yeah, I saw that. That's what I was just telling everybody. When you disconnected him, you left too. You took off
everything. Yeah, well, I thought I was disconnecting just his part of the call, but happened. But it's good to have him on. That was cool, and it was almost spur of the moment. I had just tweeted and changed the description of the episode to, miscellaneous topics, and everything. Mm-hmm. I went back to my email. There's an email sitting there. I go, because I've been checking it all day. And then I went back to my email, and there's a message from him. And I go, okay, well, now I have his Skype ID. So I connected with him on Skype. And, you know, we were going back. What was it, like 5 seconds before the show started, I'm sitting there typing, and I go, hey, he can come on.
Yes. So. Yeah. In fact, the show, the opening was going on. And
yeah. We're still getting him online when the show intro. I mean, it was that, you know, that quick, and I was like, okay, listen, you know, we have the intro going, he's talking, and it was a way to go. So that worked out fairly good.
That worked out real well. That was nice.
Yeah. Very good.
And it was interesting. I mean, you know, traveling winemaker. I mean, it's just the drifting winemaker. His website's great. All of you out there, you know, check out his website. It really is very informative. There's a lot of stuff on there. He puts a lot of pictures too, which is always fun. And pictures of him surfing, the picture of the caves, which I thought was fascinating.
I missed that. I gotta look for that. I didn't see the caves. Wow,
unbelievable! There are over 150 caves in.
I see now. Margaret River Underground. Oh, I didn't notice that before. Huh.
Okay. Over 150 caves. I mean, that's
amazing.
Yeah, that is, you know. I mean, you know, cool area of Australia that we're really not familiar with. We always talk about the other big areas, but Margaret River, I guess, is one of those little smaller areas that really not shipping all over the world yet, and we're not real familiar with it.
Yeah, but that's an interesting. I mean, to be able to go like that is. I'm trying to type in something. Indonesia. Okay.
It's great
to be able to pack up and go.
To
be able to pack up and go like that, it's amazing. And I just looked at it. That's what I was looking for. It is currently in Bali, Indonesia, 7:51 a.m. on Friday.
So he's 12 hours, exactly 12 hours ahead of us.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty cool. Yeah. So 7:51. So he got up kind of early for that.
Yeah, he did. He got up, and he's on vacation for 2 months. So,
why the response was a little bit different time, you know, because it's, you know, I sent something at 3 o'clock in the afternoon here. It's 3 o'clock in the morning there, you know, and I'm sitting there going, okay, let me refresh my email. And no, we're not anywhere close to the same time schedule.
12 hours difference. That's just amazing. 12 hours difference.
Yeah, now we know. But that's pretty cool. So good luck to him and happy adventures, and it's really interesting to get out there and do it. And I it's funny that we read about him doing that. It's because there was somebody from and I don't remember the name, the girl from USF. That's somebody local who's doing something similar to that.
I just saw it.
Yeah, I probably have it in the library, but
the library.
there was a newspaper article about the student from I think she just graduated, and she's traveling like that. She's going overseas and doing all kinds of fun, you know, cool stuff. So
you're right.
She sold everything she had here and just decided to go. So what an adventure. I don't remember the name, but.
I don't either. I remember just reading about that too. Yeah, this USF, for those of you who are listening, that's University of South Florida down here.
That's right.
That's cool, and it's a good website. And he's you know, obviously educated and knows what he's doing, and he writes a good blog too. So else, follow him. Click on and become a follower of it. It really is. A lot of nice pictures, a lot of information, all sorts of stuff on there.
Definitely.
And we thank him again for being on the program.
So early in the morning over there.
So early in the morning. But, hey, when you're
That's
in
cool.
Bali.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel bad for him getting up.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a gorgeous country up there. I just, yeah.
Hmm. All right. Well, thedriftingwinemaker.com. Check it out.
Check it out.
Very interesting. Lots of pictures. So, what else do we have? You had some anything beyond what you?
Yeah, I started talking about something. Y'all came on. Let me finish up talking about that. Simply, Joy's Joy of Wine. Whenever she had a thing on there that this Saturday is I keep timing out on my computer on that. I put it down out of the way so I won't. And I went through this just a little bit ago. Let's see it here. Oh, here it is. This Saturday, the 11th, is Wine Tourism Day in North America, Mexico, United States, and Canada. Wine Tourism Day started in Europe back in 2009, and it's held the second Sunday of November in Europe. Here we are starting it. This year is the first year to do it. But basically what it boils down to is Wine Tourism Day is important to wineries, restaurants, hotels, cities, small communities, everything that has any association with wine throughout North America. It's a good thing. If we can promote this. This is the first one here. You can check out different websites, localwineevents.com. Also check out touringandtasting.com. There's also wineamerica.org and wineindustrynetwork.com, and then winetourismconference.org. All those are posted associated with this. So check everything out, and let's support the local winery tourism business and all that stuff, because, hey, it's a good thing in this country, and so support it. So I just wanted to emphasize that again. I talked a little bit about it before Michael came on, but, let's talk about it a little bit more right here and just remind everybody, Saturday, Wine Tourism Day.
Cool. And Saturday is also another particular event going on, and I believe it is Wine Fest.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flewn.com. That's corp@flewn.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Wonderful. I almost hit the wrong button. We would have heard this because it's Saturday. We don't need to. That was last one. This Saturday, it's May 11th. There you go. We're away from May 5th. 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Come out and enjoy the weekend with live entertainment this weekend by Dennis Devine. Right? And friends, Dr. J, Mike Bowler, and Barefoot Billy. I have not heard of them. Have they been there before?
What we have this weekend, and let me help you with this segment here.
Okay, good.
Usually talk about it. But this weekend we have a special event going on. Dennis said he's been talking to us about this for the last 6 months. He knows he's a local boy. He lives in San Antonio, and that's San Antonio, Florida. He knows a lot of people, and knows a lot of local artists, and sketch artists and craft artists and musician artists and all sorts of different artists. And he's been talking to us about getting them all there for a special festival. And he finally got it together, and it's this weekend, this Saturday.
Oh.
So those guys are friends of his who are musicians and all sorts of different things. And so we're going to have a variety of different stuff there. So it's a great weekend to come out.
Yeah. And it says that you're hosting the Spring Wine and San Ann Artisan Festival with many local artisans who will display their wares. So there's going to be a lot of there's going to be painting, pottery, caps, drawing, big pen artist, photography, handmade soap and jewelry, handmade jewelry painter, bead crafts, and hemp jewelry, and others to be announced. So that's cool. Wow, this is a big thing here. A lot of things that you know and love, a lot of vendors, a lot of products that I'm just going down the list. There's a lot.
Yeah, quite a few people coming out there.
Okay, this is a big deal. Come out and enjoy visiting the vendors. The weather is going to be fantastic, and shopping is going to be fun. Don't forget, it is Mother's Day, and what a great unique thing to do. Come out and shop for Mother's Day, which is on Sunday, and you can get something unique that is not in one of the big box stores, more than likely, and you'll also enjoy the day there as well. So you can also sample some wines while you're there and have a good time. Family and pet friendly. So you can bring everybody there and just enjoy a great Saturday at Florida State's Winery. So, we'll see you there, right?
A little unique Mother's Day gift. Bring Mom out Saturday for some wine tasting and stuff. That would be fun.
That's right. And, it's going to be great. And the weather's going to cooperate and everything. It's going to be fantastic. Let's see. The tip jar last month was for the Pasco Pediatric Association. And this month the tip jar is for autism. Autism is on the increase in the U.S., and research is needed for further studies. You definitely want to come out, and as you walk past the cash register, give a little something to a great cause that raises for autism, the tip jar at Florida State's Winery, and it's going to a great cause as always. So, and that's anytime. You can come out anytime this month for that cause. All right, cool. So do that, and see you Saturday, 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. for the Wine Fest, and the hours daily for Florida State's Winery, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., and that's 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. It's only 4 miles, roughly, west of Interstate 75. Real easy to get to. You see the signs out there, some great signs right on the road, State Road 52. If you haven't been there in a while, these are new. So you definitely want to. Yeah, check it out. More information, call 813-996-2113. 813-996-2113. You get a hold of somebody, and they'll be more than happy to help you. All right, cool.
Okay.
That was my little thing.
Very good.
Yeah, very nice. Okay. And I have to get rid of some of these songs that don't fit anymore. I don't know if I can do that. No. Okay. Anyway, that's behind-the-scenes stuff. So next week we're going to try and start on Tennessee. We'll see how that goes.
Try to get hold of some Tennessee wineries and see if we can't start getting going back to the States. We've been away from the States for a month and a half.
Yeah, so it's been a while.
See if we can go back to the States.
Since it is that state, maybe someone will volunteer to be on the program.
Yeah, we hope.
Volunteer state? Okay, never mind. I guess that's where it goes. So we'll see how that goes. And stay tuned with us on the Facebook page or on the website, which has the Facebook feed. You can go to www.allaboutwinebtr.com, and you can read the Facebook links there or links to Facebook and Twitter. And Facebook is always where he updates, Ron updates show information as it happens, pretty much. So
as it happens, yes.
That's right. That is that is a great source, and the feed is directly on the website, as well as links to the Facebook page and our past guest. And I will need to add our last guest here. So
yes, we will
link to his page. So that's fantastic. So we will see you all hopefully next time, and we'll have another great show that is all about wine right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll see you all next May the 16th.
May 16th. Thank you all for tuning in.
7 p.m.
Appreciate it.
Yep, thank you. We'll see you all. Thank you.
Bye.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio. A special thanks to our special guests who have appeared on the show, and thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in and supporting All About Wine. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and like our Facebook page. Go to twitter.com or facebook.com/AllAboutWineBTR. We welcome your comments and questions by email at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. The email address again is allaboutwine101@gmail.com. All About Wine is a weekly program featuring Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery. The winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From Interstate 75, take exit 285 and go west for approximately 4 miles. Or from US 19, the Suncoast Parkway, and US 41, go east on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. for retail sales and wine tasting. Visit the gift shop and enjoy the peaceful setting outside under a large shady canopy of oak trees. Florida Estates Winery is pet friendly and picnics are welcome. For more information, call area code 813-996-2113. That's area code 813-996-2113. Or visit us on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com. Again, that's floridaestateswines.com. Be sure to subscribe to our informative bi-weekly newsletter. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio.